welcome. We are back with season two of Approachable. My name is Joe Henderson.
And I'm Paige Pierce, and we're excited to get this thing cracking again. We had such a successful first season, as we saw in the recap video that we did. People watching and listening from so many countries and enjoying all the episodes. And we, when season one ended, we were so stoked about what's season two going to have in store. Who are we going to start talking to? So we're excited about it big time.
Yeah, we can't wait. We have some pretty cool guests lined up. And Paige, how can we introduce some of these guests that we have lined up? I wonder how we can start teasing a little bit.
Well, I know we talked a little bit in the later part of season one about wanting to do, like, for me, I wanted to do like some sort of ultimate thing. Yeah. And like collegiate was something that we wanted to do. So we just kind of sourced out into the disc golf community to see who is the right type of people to talk to. And, you know, another thing that was important to us to cover is what you do for me, Joe.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know if we have a strict title or not, but basically you're my manager, you know.
Yep.
And like, not my agent like Blake is in season one, but yep, my manager who sets up my tour. And, you know, yep, we wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit more too, because I think that's something that's going to start blowing up.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's going to be more and more of that coming up in 2023. And yeah, I think that a lot of people will benefit from that episode.
Definitely. So what have you been doing besides being my tour manager this off season? I know you're also a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listeners know, but Joe's a substitute teacher as well. And yep, she's been getting into a lot of stuff. Let's hear about it.
Yeah. So lately, actually, I've been working in a preschool as a substitute teacher, and I have been doing some potty training, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Which is hilarious. Yeah.
Whoa.
But it's so cool because I get to be a part of this huge moment for all these kids. And it's like all of them learning how to use a bathroom for the first time. Like, that's pretty cool that I get to help out with
that. Some kids nail it and other kids are struggling?
Most of them are nailing it. We have like, okay, a little timer that we set every 30 minutes for each kid and make sure that they all get to go. But yeah, we use sign language and all that kind of stuff too.
Wow.
So yeah, it's
that's
pretty
crazy.
Cool.
And it's,
yeah,
like, do you and Cam want kids?
Yes.
Of,
yes,
your own? Okay, yes. So this is perfect training for that.
I mean like, seriously. It's like,
you're going to get the trial and error on other people's kids before, yeah, you have a bunch of accidents in your own,
exactly,
house.
Exactly, exactly. And using their clothes, their laundry machines. Yep, exactly.
Wow. So you have to do that laundry too?
Yeah, yeah. We,
wow,
have it in the school though, so that's nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is
handy.
Good. You don't have to take it home.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know. Actually, I don't think I went to preschool. I went to like a after school,
okay,
in kindergarten, first grade and stuff, but I,
yeah,
don't think I ever did a preschool. Definitely nobody besides my parents were teaching,
right,
me how to use the,
yeah,
restroom. So that's, I wonder if that's a Canadian thing.
Maybe it is.
Like,
I don't know.
2023 thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, how about you, Paige? What have you been up to?
Well, I just got back from Thailand and Cambodia.
Yes, I need to hear more about that.
I was there for a few weeks. It's funny, I, you know, while I was gone, you know, also, just because it's the off season, like, you're just thinking about disc golf nonstop and like, what's everyone up to? How long, you know, the countdown's on, all that. And I was watching all these interviews of people switching sponsors, whatnot,
yeah,
having interviews, but also just, you know, random interviews. And everyone, I'm just trying to see what everyone's up to. And being there, I was playing disc golf and I was like doing clinics and workshops and stuff with these people that came on the trip with me. But I was really getting the itch for, like, you know, to film an episode of Approachable and,
right,
to go back on the Pro Tour and all these things that like come with my job. But,
and like your regular routine, I guess, for,
totally,
the on,
totally,
season, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was so busy and slammed, and like all of those interviews that I kept hearing were the same sentiment of like, gosh, this off season is flying by and it doesn't,
yeah,
really feel like an off season. And that's kind of what I feel like today. Actually, literally today is the first day that I've had Alyssa and I have been at home and it's been an empty house. Like,
oh my,
we got,
goodness,
back from Thailand and Cambodia like 5 days ago now.
Yeah.
Missy and Tom were here. And then I had
and
another,
all their puppies, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, all of four, oh, of our puppies were running,
that's
around.
So fun.
So, oh, full, man, house. But today was my first day of like, felt like off season. So anyway, I'm excited that the season's right around the corner, but I'm also feeling like thankful for this like 1.5, 2 weeks where,
totally,
I'm going to get to actually rest before the grind starts again.
Exactly.
You're going out soon to Tucson, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm actually going for the Disc Golf Pro Tour Industry Conference. So they have a conference all about social media, which is why I'm going, because of the work that I do for you, Paige. And then, yeah, there's tons of stuff. Like, there's sustainable disc golf. And I think Trash Panda's doing that. And then there's ton more. So I'm super stoked for that. And I think I'm actually going to be playing in a little bit of a scramble as well while I'm there.
Really?
Yeah. Amazing. So that's pretty cool.
Amazing. Yeah. I think it's really cool, the industry conference. I know we, in season one, we actually had an episode lined up with a representative from Infinite who was set to host that disc golf convention. And this seems like what they were trying to do, kind of, you know, having keynote speakers and charging people an entrance fee. Basically, what you're getting for that entrance fee is information and trying to learn more about how to be inside the sport and stuff like that. So like Missy, she just left this morning. Was that today? Wow, it was today. Wow. They left today. That's where she's headed, is to Tucson for the conference and the All-Stars and stuff. And she was saying she's probably going to buy tickets as well. Sweet. To go listen and absorb any information.
Why
so
not?
It's pretty cool, like, you know, gathering everyone involved with the sport and trying to, you know, collectively grow together.
Well, there's so much that we can each learn from each other too. And I think that's just like the perfect way to do it, is host something where everybody comes together. You can connect, mingle. And yeah, I think that's
totally,
they're on the right page with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite thing about this podcast too, is just the learning and feeling like I've dedicated my whole life to this and I've been playing for so long, but like I'm still learning. And
there's
like
still so much.
Jomez and Grip have given us this platform and opportunity to, you know, host the podcast for them, but really like we're soaking up a lot of knowledge. So it's been pretty cool.
I know, it's been awesome.
I was gonna tell you about the Thailand and Cambodia thing, because I learned a lot of stuff there too. So the first trip we had 10 people come, and the second trip we had 9 people come. It wasn't your typical vacation. Like, you don't know who you're going on vacation with. You just get there and you're like, hello, everyone. Yeah. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? And like getting to learn about so many different walks of life from the disc golfers, but then also learning that culturally, like in Thailand and in Cambodia, like how they live and stuff like that. So we did a lot of cool things and just like learned a lot too, like about each other, about how to travel with people you've never met before, and how to compromise and stuff like that. And like, we actually, on the second trip, which was the one to Thailand, we actually all got sick. There was 10 of us, and 9 out of 10 of us were, you know,
oh no, like travelers
puking or and you know, at first, actually, I was the first one. I was so like embarrassed, you know, I'm puking in front of all these people. But then I was like kind of glad, like, okay, at least it's me and it's not someone else. Like their experience is still good. And, you know, an hour later, Alyssa's puking. And then I'm like, okay, well, again, at least it's just us. And then it just kept going.
And
by the end of the night, like, you know, because at first you don't talk about those things usually, like unless you're close with people. And at the end of it, like, we were all in it together. And it was so...
Do you think it was something you guys ate? Or...
We still don't know, because like, I don't know how quickly, like if it would be like food poisoning. I don't know how quickly that sets in. I've read, you know, different things, like could be 12 to 48 hours. So it's like hard to track down something we all ate, but maybe it could have been like the water. Like they said, don't drink the water. So we were drinking bottled water, but maybe it was like ice cubes, you know, I don't know, something. Not sure, but you know.
Well, that's the worst, though, when you're getting sick and you're traveling.
But it was also on our last day. So, like, we didn't have to miss any activities. Like, we still got to play the disc golf. And the courses were amazing over there, Joe. Yeah. I got some recommendations for you if you get out to Thailand.
I definitely want to. I actually was thinking about going to Koh Samui next year.
Okay.
Signing up. So, definitely I would take you up on those recommendations.
Definitely do so. Yeah. And if you go to Koh Samui, it's on a little island. So, you'll have to fly into either Bangkok or Chiang Mai.
Yeah.
I would recommend Chiang Mai. Because, like, seriously, no bull. It's like, there's a course called Lana Rocks just inside the city of Chiang Mai. And I think it could be a pro tour level course.
Wow.
When I'm traveling, I don't really expect much, because it's like, if it was a great course, it would be on the pro tour or a major course or something, right? Like, we would have heard of it. But, and I think that was kind of cool, because the expectations were low. And then we got there and we were just all like, what? This place is amazing. Unreal. Like, there was a couple top of the world shots, like where you threw down the hill, like onto an island. So they had one hole that they like mimicked hole 7 at Winthrop with the bamboo stakes and stuff. And they had some par 5s, a par 4s. It was awesome. Really enjoyed it.
Probably just so much untouched land over there too. Like
totally.
They can just kind of get creative, use the space of how they feel like to make totally it exactly their own. Yeah. I love
totally
it.
Totally. And they had like a little shack there that you could get drinks and stuff that was closed up because of COVID, but they said they're about to reopen it and stuff. And yeah, a lot of people were just coming through because they were headed to the Koh Samui tournament, so they were just getting a lot more traffic than normal, so the course was really cleaned up and everything. Nice. Too. And yeah, I kept telling them I hope they know, like, I wasn't just being nice, you know. Yeah. It was like legit a really awesome course.
Like, so you've played a lot of courses, and like for you to say that, that means a lot for sure.
Yeah, I wanted to go back again, but we didn't have time, unfortunately. We had to fly out, but
yeah
it was awesome. I'm excited to get back out and play some courses on tour too, though.
Yeah, which ones are you most excited for?
You know, I always talk about Maple Hill being my favorite, and like Smuggler's Notch I've been talking a lot about, but one that I just like overlooked until recently that I just remembered is Preserve. I love being out there, and
that's just the whole experience, I'm sure, is just totally like so awesome there. Yeah,
totally. It's just everyone gets together. Maybe you should come out for that one. You gotta bring a tent though.
Okay,
we don't leave the course the whole time.
Did you just bought one? Yeah,
nice. So you've been,
we could do that,
going out tent camping in the snow.
Not in the snow, but we're hoping Cam and I are getting actually married this summer in July, and then so after our marriage, we're going to go do a big like road trip and camp.
Cool.
And, yeah, just along like Banff National Park and all that stuff.
Like a through camping thing, like where you'll, or will you go back to the car each day and then drive to a new spot? Or?
We'll probably go back to the car each day, but we want to do, actually, there's a huge mountain called Mount Assiniboine. I'm pretty sure it's like 36 kilometer hike. Up,
okay.
And then back, same round trip. But we want to do that as well. So eventually we're going to like kind of work our way up to like some backcountry camping and that kind of thing.
Cool.
But yeah, we're investing in some gear right now and trying to figure out how we can make that happen. But
so like the dehydrated meals and stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. We're
pumped. That's so fulfilling, like to know that you can survive with little to nothing.
Yeah.
And like, I've been literally, I just was watching Survivor, laying on the couch watching Survivor.
Yeah.
Throwback. I love that show.
Oh,
but
same.
It's on Netflix now, but so sweet. I've been watching it. But they just had an episode where like the family came to visit, and the dad of one of the contestants was like, "This is all you have here? Like, look, you can like live shocked life just like this too. Like, if you can do this here," like that just reminded me of that. Like when you go camping out like that, you just, you feel so empowered and like powerful, you know? So cool.
Yeah. Well, Cam and I have noticed that like we have, like, we live in one of the most beautiful parts of Canada, and we were like, we don't even get to see the best of it because we only just hike up, like, maybe a 12-kilometer hike or whatever, like, not that long, and then come back down that day. And we were like, why don't we do this more? There's all this stuff that we haven't seen before, so we may as well try it.
That feeling is so common, too. Like, when you don't do something, you don't do something, and then you finally do something, and you're like, we got to do this more.
Right? That's how I felt about disc golf, actually, when I, like, first started getting into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, why don't I do this every day? Like, I love this. Yeah.
I just had that feeling recently, too. We went to...
Oh, that's awesome.
Not with disc golf, though. But, well, it kind of happens every time with disc golf. Like, at my stage of... like what disc golf is to me, it happens a lot just because like I consider it work, but then I go play a fun round with my friends and I'm like, wow, this is so fun. But yeah, I had that feeling like we went to like a river spot near here, and it was like when you put it into the GPS, it's 36 minutes from my house, and every time we've gone out there we've loved it, but it's like it feels so far away. You know, it's like, wow, this is only 36 minutes.
Like, it feels like an investment, six songs, right?
You sing six songs on the radio and you're there. You know, it's really not that hard. Not that you bad. Just got to get some motivation and just go for it.
And
you know?
Plan for it, and then it'll happen, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or just keep your car loaded up with all the adventure goods.
There you go.
You're just always ready.
Or just have the van, right? Like, you're always ready with the van.
Yeah. It's, you kind of have to choose though, adventure or disc golf, because you don't have enough room in the van for
good
everything
point.
You saw you drove it.
Yeah, we drove that. Yeah, that's right. Cam and I drove the van all the way from Kansas up to Vermont. That's a good time.
Yeah. You guys think that you'll ever go on a tour like that where it's like, honestly, I know you just talked about kind of doing that through the backcountry of Canada, but like kind of like getting a vehicle and driving from spot to spot and not having like a home base.
We've definitely talked about that for sure. Yeah. We do want to eventually like own a home and all of that stuff too. But yeah, we have definitely talked about that and how convenient it was just to be like, oh, where are we going to sleep? And then you can just like kind of Google it that day. Like you can just kind of figure things out as you're going.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun for me. I like the spontaneity of that.
Totally. But
yeah. Yeah. It was cool just to like kind of let it unravel as it will. Right. Like,
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. And then it just kind of all works out. Like it just felt really good. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything you're working on this year in your disc golf game or anything like that, Paige?
I've been working on like different angles of sidearms.
Okay.
One thing at a time, you know, not really adding much distance to my sidearm currently. But yeah, I'm just like kind of like purposely trying to hit, like I just rely on my backhand so much and it's gotten me to a great point. But when I'm practicing, still allowing myself to throw that backhand and still keeping that repetition. Yeah. But also throwing the sidearm, even if it's like the hardest shot, you know, still, you know, you're just practicing. It doesn't matter if you hit the tree. So just
you
like,
could throw two off the tee, right?
Like yeah.
When you're practicing,
I usually throw like seven or eight.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Yeah. Just like finding the hardest gap and like just trying to work an angle through that gap and just feeling more comfortable. Like I guess on tour, it would translate as scrambling. Basically, I'm not going to be throwing those crazy angles with a sidearm off the tee really, but just trying to know like if I get off the fairway I can get up and down. So I've been playing a lot of that game where it's like you just pretend you have to get up and down for par or whatever. Just pretend that that's the tee pad and you got to get a birdie, get up and down. That's the thing I've been working on the most and just really taking my time. And a lot of times when I practice, I don't go through my entire putting mechanics and I just like fast putt and I think like the more reps the better, but really it's I'm learning like I need to get more legit reps, you know, like just like I do it in the tournament. So I've been throwing a lot less putts. Like maybe I'll only throw 60 putts today, but they'll be like tournament style putts instead of like before where I set like a number and I'm like, okay, 150 putts before I can go inside or whatever it may have been. That's the biggest thing I would say, but also just mindset. I think like my biggest like revelation mentally has been like around New Year's when everyone's talking about New Year's resolutions and stuff. And something that I'm going to try to do this year is to remind myself, like when I feel some bit of like frustration or anger or disappointment or any kind of negative emotion on the course, just to picture myself as an 80-year-old. Mm-hmm. And then that will just kind of take me out of that frustration and kind of make me laugh. But then also remind myself that like when I'm 80, I'm not going to be thinking about this second shot I just threw on hole five at Maple Hill round one, you know, like this shot might feel like it's the biggest thing in the world right now, but
in the future it'll,
it's not going to matter. And I think that's going to help with my mindset. If I can hold strong to that, like I know everything's easy for the first little bit, but it's the continuous. So hopefully by like May, you know, I'm still feeling those, you know, that strong on that. So that's kind of what I've been thinking mostly about.
Nice. Yeah, I've been working on getting more distance. Definitely more distance.
Yeah.
Right now I think I'm around like the 350 range. Like
amazing.
I've been doing better for sure.
Amazing.
But like, trying to figure out how I can continue to get more distance. And I think I actually might do a video with Holland Hanley when I'm in Tucson just to see if she can help me. I don't
know. That's amazing.
Yeah. But hopefully it can help other people too. But yeah.
Totally. And her videos have been killing it. And like, you know, she, that would be a great person because she does throw far she's taught herself and taught herself quickly. So, you know, all of that, what you've been learning is only going to get amplified, you know, collabing with her. And that'll be super exciting. I just got to hang out with Holland in Jacksonville for the Disc Craft retreat thing. That was fun.
How did that go? Yeah. That was a lot of people in one house. Yeah. How are you guys living?
Well, I was the first one there. So I got first dibs on the bedroom, which was sweet because there was only four bedrooms. But also I only stayed for 4 days. So like once I left, some of the boys got to take in because the room next door to me was bunk beds, and Adam Hammes and Anthony Varela were in there, and then Corey Ellis and Ezra had little sleeping pads on the floor, so all four of those boys shared one room.
That's crazy.
I felt a little guilty, so the last night I was there, I slept on the couch and let two of them move into my room. Yeah, it was a tight house, you know, with 13 athletes, and then we had four staff, and it was pretty crazy. And then Brittany Dickerson was there, and Hannah, so some of the significant others came as well. So we had quite a bit of people.
Yeah, no doubt.
It was really fun. It was really fun. We bonded a lot. There was like a pool table and some games. So we, you know, very competitive with everything and played a lot of pickleball. And
did you play pickleball?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was my first time
I
played, actually. I loved it. It was awesome. Yeah. Me and Brittany Dickerson were teammates for a bit. And then we beat Ezra and AB.
What?
Twice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it was of their first times playing too.
Okay.
But it was cool because like half of the people had already played. Like Chris and Paul have backpacks and shoes and like they own like 15 rackets. And
how do you, you need more than one racket? Like, is that a thing?
I think it's like they started with a bad one and then they progressively got better ones.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly. Or also just having more in case your friends don't have them. Maybe.
Right. That makes sense.
I'm not sure. But they are fiends. Paul plays
seven days
a week.
Funny.
Chris said he plays more like four or five. It was fun. Alyssa and I had been playing a lot of tennis in 2022, like in the van had tennis rackets. So I'd been playing like paddle sports recently. So it was like a little less running. And I was actually surprised at how fast the little wiffle ball goes. Like I didn't expect it to go that fast with holes in it like that. But it was fun.
We played that in gym when I was in high school. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
and
so
then I saw it like kind of blowing up and I was like, what? Like, I used to play this back in gym and, like, the town where I'm from, Seminar. But we have, like, a huge pickleball scene there. Like, massive. So I've played, like, a decent amount, but...
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I was like,
I thought it was a new thing.
Blowing up.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. There's, like, tutorial videos and all kinds of stuff. Now Missy and Tom are into it. They got paddles and stuff. We played a few times this week while they were here. And, yeah, it's a good little, like, cardio workout. Like, you know, disc golf, you definitely get work. Workout and like you feel it in your legs and your arms and your back and stuff, but you don't really like work up a sweat like that and you feel like you're getting like endurance tolerance. So
your heart doesn't like beat so fast, right? Yeah.
Not really. Yeah. I mean, unless you're playing like mountainous golf.
Right.
Or one of the disc dash challenges that they do, but those are
more
rare.
Are hilarious. Those are awesome.
I loved it for that. The quick little cardio and when kind of like playing catch, like when you see the ball coming, you just forget about what you think you can do. Or if you're tired, you just start running after it. Got to go get it.
It's like must get ball. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Totally. I feel like my dogs.
Yeah, right. This podcast is brought to you by Grip Equipment, the world's leading disc golf bag company. Since 2009, they've been at the forefront of creating the world's most comfortable, durable, and innovative bags on the market. Check out their wide variety of bags at grip-eq.com.
Yeah, Joe, my favorite thing about the G-Series bags are that if you're trying to go play a quick round of discs, sometimes I'm trying to work on my sidearm or I just want putting practice or upshot practice, it's perfect for that grab-and-go style of a round. You load it up with those discs and there's no excuse to have too heavy of a bag and skip that practice. But if you're the type of player that likes to load your bag up to its capacity and carry multiples of each mold, they also have a variety of backpack bags that carry up to 27 discs.
So whether you're looking for your first disc golf bag or you're wanting to upgrade your gear, head to grip-eq.com today to find the perfect bag for you.
Oh my gosh, Torben got hurt. He's in a little cast right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What happened to him? Poor guy.
Two nights ago. But it was like at 8 p.m. So the vet was closed. So we did a little temporary cast overnight and took him into the vet yesterday. He must have stepped on something and like cut his little paw pad open. And it was like to the point where like you could see the under layer. Like it wasn't just like a little cut, you know, it was like
maybe some
made
glass,
me woozy.
You think? Or...
I don't know.
That's
I don't know.
So
but
scary.
we didn't even know which dog it was because, like I said, Missy had her dogs here too, and so there's four dogs running around, and like it wasn't like he was crying or whimpering or limping. It was just there was blood all over the floor, and we were like, "Oh shoot, one of the dogs is hurt."
Oh no!
And then we figured out it was Torben, but he wasn't even like limping or anything. But
Trooper.
Yeah, he had to get stitches, and he's in a little cast, and he's got a cone on because he can't stop licking it. He looks so funny.
It's like, poor Tormund.
You feel bad to like think he's cute when he's hurt, but he's super cute. That's another reason for our lazy day today. Like, just been like on duty monitoring him, making sure he's not like licking it and stuff. The vet actually called and made sure everything was okay, which was nice. But first puppy injury.
So sad.
Which I kind of felt like was a little bit of, not quite potty training, you know, but it was like kind of felt like a little bit of training for a baby, you know, like having to, like, he can't understand English and he can't understand my, like, the faces I'm making of when I'm like, oh damn, that is deep, oh you know, but like it was good training to like not react, because if a kid falls and gets hurt, you got to be like, oh, it's not so bad,
okay,
little Jimmy,
you're okay. Encourage them that they're not that hurt.
So we were talking about that and just you know, how it's been a little bit of a lesson, I guess. Everything, you can find a lesson in anything, we always talk about that.
Definitely.
But it's been fun to prepare for kids with dogs.
So are you and Alyssa thinking about kids? Is that something that's on the agenda?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely yes. But it's a, just like kind of like when and how, you know?
Well, yeah.
It's a little harder for me. But yeah, there's lots of different options now, 2023. You know, there's so many scientific developments. Like we talked about this thing called reciprocal IVF. I think, have we talked to you about that?
Yeah, you have talked to me about that. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you can put one woman's egg inside of another woman, so like it's like biologically the one is the mother, but the one who's carrying it still gets those
still
bonds,
gets the
and
feeling
yeah
of
all
the
that
bond. Yeah,
so we
like
talked
that.
About
That's
that
cool.
But yeah, I think it's like a matter of when and how. Luckily talked with Discraft and told them, you know, those things, and if that were to happen, that, you know, I still want to play the same amount of tournaments, so the alternative is like Alyssa and said child need to be on the road, and so like having like a RV and stuff, and
a bigger vehicle that you can
they're so responsive to that kind of stuff and helping out. So, you know, that's like a kind of a scary situation where you kind of feel like, would it change my career? And like knowing that it doesn't have to, and that and that my sponsor is receptive to that, has been really cool conversations to have, and just showing like how committed they are, and vice versa. So it's been cool. But, you know, first step is the wedding. We're not getting, you said you're getting married in June?
July. We're getting married in July. How about you? When are you getting married?
November.
November.
So
that's exciting.
Got a little bit more time than you.
Yeah.
Planning's begun.
The backdrop for your porch area.
Oh,
your new deck.
Yeah.
That's so pretty.
So, yeah, now we're figuring out if we're going to, that's going to be, like, behind us, or maybe that's just going to be, like, where the DJ's set up, and, you know, you're kind of dance floor set up over there. We've been, Tina, she came over yesterday, and we just sat in the backyard and, like, visualized it, like, you know, so it's been fun to be here for a little bit longer, and to try to plan those things before I get on the road, and, like, you know, that's not really something that is going to be able to, like, have as much of my mental, you know, energy, I would say.
Definitely.
But it's been fun. Like, have you guys been planning most of yours, or is you guys have a wedding planner, or how are you guys doing that?
Well, we are actually eloping in the mountains. So we are just having both of our immediate families. And so Cam has his parents, and then he has a sister. And for myself, I have my parents, and then I have a sister, brother-in-law, and then my brother, and then two brothers. So
cool.
Yeah,
that's gonna be
really
amazing.
Excited. And then my niece and nephew will also be there. But
cool.
Yeah.
One of your favorite spots, or a new spot?
Yeah,
that you
in Canmore, actually. Cam and I met in Calgary, and then we went on a hike immediately that day to Canmore. So
cool.
Yeah, we're going.
That's
to Canmore,
amazing.
Yeah, super.
It's gonna
super
be so
excited.
Special.
Yeah, there's two amazing courses in Canmore too. So.
Okay, so you're going
to
play it?
Might have to play on my wedding day.
A little honeymoon? We'll wedding day. Amazing.
We're getting married, or we're actually getting married later in the evening, because the sunset's better in the evening. And we want our photos to be kind of like around sunset. So
Yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping to maybe play in the morning. We'll see. I don't know.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's something we're talking about too with timing, is like traditionally weddings are at like, I don't
noon?
know.
Yeah.
I was thinking later. Later? Well, okay. I went to two this year, and both of them were like 4 or 5 p.m. Oh, okay. Because of that sunset right. stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, you know, pretty lighting and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, what if we just do it at like noon? So, you know, because also because we're doing it at our house and like right. consideration to the neighbors, like, you know, if mm-hmm. we do it at noon, you know, 10 hours would be 10 p.m. I don't think people are going to stay much longer than that. Maybe. Who right? knows?
Yeah.
But just consideration for our neighbors and stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't know. It's been a yeah. lot of conversations.
I love the idea that you guys have, though, just to like make your backyard like your basically your sanctuary. And like, why wouldn't you invest in that? That is yeah. so cool. I love that.
Yeah. And we, you know, that was part of the reason is to save some money and do it at our house and stuff. With that said, like, we're still like, okay, how do we make it cute and also mm-hmm. functional? We got to get chairs. People got to sit somewhere. Got to,
yeah.
you know, and then
maybe benches, like, would that work?
Yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah. Like so that. We started yeah. looking up all these like seating options. Yeah. And we're like, that's cute. That's cute. That's cute. And then it's like, well, we can't just get everything that's cute. Otherwise, we were going to spend just as much money yeah. as we would have anyway.
Totally.
So we actually were just driving around town, and Pensacola does this cool thing where maybe more cities do it. I don't know. I've never had a home.
Yeah.
But where like different neighborhoods are different times of the month. But in our neighborhood, it's like the last week of the month. The city of Pensacola comes out and collects like things that you don't want on your curb. So you can just put stuff out on the curb, old mattresses, you know, whatever, rugs, whatever.
I've never heard of that. That's really cool.
It's amazing. So there's always a lot of like certain parts, certain neighborhoods, there's certain times of the month, there's stuff on the curbs. And we actually yesterday found a beautiful rug and like these 4 turquoise chairs. Amazing. And so some cushions. So we actually like got all those, started cleaning them and
Sweet.
Gonna repaint the chairs and restain them and stuff. And just, yeah. you know, basically like trying to use what we can find and not really like,
oh yeah.
try to, you know, go out and shop too much, you know. So
yeah,
it's cool
that.
To think of new ways to do things.
Yeah, that's why we're actually eloping too, because right. we didn't, there's so much waste in weddings and we didn't want to
totally.
Be a part of that. And yeah, we were like, well, we have a beautiful backdrop, we don't need a backdrop, we don't
cool.
need, like, you know, like,
so who's going to be your photographer, since Cam's usually the photographer of your life?
Yeah, that was actually the hardest thing for us to decide about that. But
I bet.
We found an elopement package, but the okay. elopement package actually comes with an amazing photographer that we both were like very agreed
you agreed
upon.
On and we're like yeah. okay, cool.
And Cam was actually, this is so funny, but Cam was actually more okay with any photographer than I was, because I'm just so picky. I'm like, no, but they're not your photos, like your photos are like
totally
the top of the line for me. So
totally.
yeah, I'm sure that'll be different for you too, because Alyssa's a photographer.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have anyone in mind?
Yeah, and we have different priorities. Like, she's really right. wants the photos to be top notch, but for mm-hmm. me, I'm like, I'd rather spend more money on a videographer. Like,
yeah.
So we're kind of trying to find a balance there. It's really tough because availability, and mm-hmm. you know, we maybe waited too long. Like, a lot of like our first, second, third, fourth choices are already like booked. So it's kind of a bummer. But also like, trying to be thoughtful in who does it and what their values are, and making sure that they're not only like okay with mm-hmm. a same-sex couple, but like that they appreciate right. that, you know.
That's
because
so
it's
true.
One thing for them to be like, oh yeah, we don't mind, but
it's like very
we don't
different.
Mind is
yeah.
not what I want to hear, you
no.
know, like. So yeah, we've just been, you know, struck out a few times on ones
yeah.
we wanted, and then other times just like not been the right fit.
Doesn't
so
feel like the right
we're still
fit.
Looking, actually, unfortunately. Okay. But I'm very hopeful. We're gonna find
yeah,
someone.
I'm hopeful for you too.
Thank you.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
But it's been fun. But I mean, other than wedding stuff, that could take a whole episode. So
right.
for the listeners that don't want to keep listening about our wedding.
Yeah. Anybody want a wedding episode? Let us know.
We could do it after hours.
Yeah, right? After hours wedding episode.
Uh-huh. But Joe, I wanted to ask you,
yes.
because this is something I've been thinking about a lot.
Awesome.
Now that we know everyone's new sponsors are out, all the like the off season's almost to the end. People are posting what they've been practicing about, stuff like that. Like, from your perspective, like, what do you think this season has in store for us, like, disc golf wise? And, like, you know, do you think who are you thinking, like, is going to have a breakout year?
Oh man, this is a good question, because I was actually thinking,
I'm sure you've been thinking about it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And honestly, there's a couple people that come to mind, but, like, I feel like with all of the changes, there's a lot of uncertainty. Like, we don't really know what's going to happen until we see it, I feel like.
Totally.
There's so many different players moving sponsors, and there's so many, yeah, there's just a lot of changes happening. So I can tell you who I would love to see have a really awesome season is, I actually really want to see Simon have a good season. I've been watching his Beyond Disc Golf documentary.
So good.
Oh my gosh. So good. It is amazing.
Even the trailer, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Give me another episode right now.
Right now. Like, can this be on Netflix? Yeah. No, I really was stoked to see that. And just, I feel like that would just give him the reassurance of the move and all that stuff too. But yeah, that would be really cool. And then someone else that I was thinking about was Maria Oliva. I was like, Thought Space is so cool.
Thought Space,
I was
like, yeah.
That could be super cool to see her, like, have a breakout year and kind of,
She hit the road last year, but not quite till, like, the later part of the, or, like, she got the van. She came out to events, but she wasn't, like, full-time on tour until, like, the latter half of the year. So, you know, this will be, like, her first, like, full-time van life and new discs, new everything.
Yeah.
That's something that's cool to, like, weigh the pros and cons, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're switching manufacturers, you're, like, probably, you know, upset with your current situation, or just like,
or you just want to change,
feeling like you deserve better, you know, or more, or you want to change, or you want to make a big move, something like that, and you think it's going to be better for your mindset, and it 9 times out of 10 it is, but the hard part is, am I going to be able to learn these quick enough, you know,
and because do the same thing that you did with your previous manufacturer,
totally, right? Like, totally.
What are some tips that you could give people? Because you've changed.
I have some tips that I was thinking that I gave Bob during our Jacksonville weekend.
Yeah.
Like, to the team managers out there, if there's team managers listening.
Yeah, they probably
I
are.
I think it would be cool in the future if the negotiation process started sooner, or like the contracts weren't from January to December and they were like, they ended October, so that you knew what, if you were going to make a move, you knew sooner, so that, you know, because a lot of these new players, Maria's, the Anthony Barella's, all these new players that are moving, Simon, they have less time to practice with the new disc because the negotiation takes so long. So I think that that would be my biggest thing, but that's not really for the player. My advice to a player would probably just be like, get an agent, let your agent do the talking and the negotiating. But if you're even considering another sponsor, start throwing their discs immediately while your agent is doing the negotiating, so that, you know, you have more time. I think,
and while the
also,
hype of like off season isn't happening too, because then if other people see you, it's like not a big thing, right?
Right. And getting the disc broken in too, I think, is a big thing. Like,
takes a while
finding
to beat in a disc. Yeah,
it does. And like, it was really cool at the Jacksonville house to see all of the guys were handing AB new disc to him, but old discs for them, and like, oh, this one's nice and beat in, and that was just a cool,
so cool
vibe to feel, and like everyone wanting each other to have what they need to get the job done and have the right information, the right disc, all that. And I think that that's an overlooked part, is you learn these 20 discs and you're like, oh, this is my bag, this is what's made the bag, then you don't have those backups established yet, and then you start losing a couple discs, and you know, things can change quickly. So I think that would be the biggest thing. But I'm excited for the new season. I'm curious to see how Gannon does this year after such a successful year. I know that can be a hard thing mentally, to feel like, okay, now I'm an established player, and now I have something to prove. And I'm curious to see, with all of his success, but also how young he is, how his mindset starts to develop more and more. But I think who I'm going to be like rooting for would probably be like, I mean, always James. I think especially in lieu of Simon coming into MVP, yes. I think it would be really cool for James to have a great season and to just be like, you know, hey, I'm still an MVP top dog here. And, you know, I think that that would be cool. Plus he's like a brother to me, but funny that you say Maria and I'm going to say Luke Sampson.
Yeah, I love that. Luke is awesome. Yeah.
I would say for the males, Luke, and for the females, I would say Holly Finley or Kona Panis are the three players that I see practicing the most on the putting green. Like, you know, we are all taking turns playing our practice rounds, but at the end of the day or at the first thing in the morning, they're out there practice putting, like till the sun goes down, or, you know, and so that is also like something that I root for, you know, to see those players like playing when everyone else is eating dinner and having a beer, like they got headphones in and they're still putting. Like those are the kind of players that I'm rooting for too. So, and either way, any way you look at it, like this season's going to be amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. I keep.
And now Joma is covering the women.
That's right. Joma's is covering the women. I cannot wait to see FBO coverage by Joma's. Like that is going to be so sick.
And something which maybe we should ask our producer after this goes off air, you know, maybe if he can give us a little inside info, but I wonder if Joma's is going to change their little jingle.
Right.
Remember when they changed their jingle?
Yeah.
That like broke the internet, felt
it
like.
It did, yeah. It totally did.
But every year, like, every year there's like a, you know, we think about the off season for us as players and, but the off season for the content creators, it's got to be a cool experience too of like, okay, how are we going to up our content this year? And like excited to see what coverage looks like in 2023. Like who are the FPO commentators going to be?
Also
who
what I was gonna
is
ask,
there going to be a jingle? Is there new graphics? Like we got introduced to the Follow Flight a few years ago and then now we're getting all of these new graphics and things. So I'm excited to see like those kind of things too, and not just what player has a good season, but like what new things we have to look forward to on the coverage and getting excited about.
And there's so many ways you can measure like disc golf, right? Like you can measure by the flight, like the type of disc that it is, the flight path, the like there's just so many different things. They're always so creative at it. So yeah, I know they're gonna
did you see Joe did you happen to see on ESPN the other day the Pro Tour Championship and the USDGC?
Yeah,
that was
so
epic.
Sick.
That was so cool. And like, I felt like the format that they used was so much better than the previous years, you know, where they just were like more like shot by shot in the round. And then this year it was more of like a character building storyline where it jumped back and forth from player to player. And I felt so excited and like proud of disc golf.
Yeah, at the end seeing Ricky, like it's just crazy, like oh, I love it. I love
and how they kept that. The mic rolling after, you know, they're the camera's on him and he's given his interview and then the interview stops, but the mic for the documentary keeps rolling and you see him get to his car and drive off. It's my favorite show, like this off season, watching shows. Breakpoint on Netflix. Okay. Tell me you've seen it.
I haven't.
No.
I need to though, but
man,
I don't know
I wish
if it's
you
on
had.
Canadian Netflix. I should,
okay.
My brother actually works there, so maybe I should just
ask him. Ask him, but you've got to watch that, Joe. It's
okay.
It honestly, the reason I'm bringing it up, it is the spitting image of what you just saw from that ESPN coverage, but with tennis. And it's like all about tennis.
Oh,
but
cool.
We went straight from watching that on ESPN with disc golf to watching, to going on Netflix and clicking on Breakpoint. And it was the same quality. It was the same type of story. It was the same like emotional pools. It was like the same character building. Like they crushed it. And like, it just goes to show you how far media and disc golf has come.
Oh my gosh.
And like we are itching for something like that, you know, to get it on to the mainstream.
Yeah, it's so true. And even just like the consumers, like there's so people will consume anything at this point with disc golf.
For sure.
The fact that we're producing that good quality stuff too is like, it's like only going to provide more of a ceiling for the next person and the next person, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going
to
up it.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Too many things to be excited.
We haven't talked about what is your first tournament of
2023? Oh, I'll be playing. There is a very small chance that I play Vegas, but likely I'll be starting. My tour schedule is Waco. Waco. Starting at Waco.
Awesome.
I didn't sign up for Vegas because I didn't want to like sign up and then drop out. But I feel like if I call with a week early, maybe I can squeeze in if I'm like dying to play.
Yeah.
I've played Vegas so many times and I've actually had a lot of success there, but I didn't want to start my season there, fly all the way out there, fly all the way back and then have 2 weeks off and then go to Texas. Usually it's cold and there's three courses to learn.
Last year was so cold. Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh my gosh, and I want to be like, also it gives me a couple more weeks to be ready, especially because I was just doing international travels for so long, giving me a little bit more time to, you know, work out some kinks and also, you know, not burn myself out before I've even
before you've started,
got to the second month of the tour. You know, I don't want to get to the first event and it's cold and I didn't practice enough and... there's too many people on the course and all of these things that sometimes go through my mind in Vegas and deciding, you know, I'm just going to start my season strong in Texas and, you know, make that decision now and not feel a little burnt out already. So I thought it was the best for my mental state.
Definitely. No, I think that's wise. I think it's, especially after international travel and like the amount that jet lag has on, like it takes a toll on your body. It
took me 3 days to,
it
was crazy. I always, every time I think jet lag's made up and then, and then I'm like, why am I not able to stay awake past 4 p.m.? Like, why is this happening? I kept falling asleep on the couch and Missy was taking videos of me and doing little memes and stuff.
Oh, I'll have to ask her for those videos. That's good. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What else has been going on, Joe? I mean, there's so much. So it's been a whole long off season and lots of new adventures for us. Both behind and ahead, but I think the thing that everyone is excited for here on in our audience is learning more about disc golf and, you know, jumping down different avenues in the sport that you may not have conversations about too often. And we've already recorded some episodes, but we have a few more ahead too. So if you guys have any ideas or advice or anything, make sure you guys shoot them to our email and let us know what you guys want to hear about, what topics, who you want to talk to, and what you want to learn about.
That's approachable at jomezpro.com. If you want to shoot an email, shoot it right there and we will get back to you on that.
All right, Joe, you got anything else for us before we send off our first episode
of
2023?
What a year it's going to be. Honestly, all I have to say is like, I would love for someone and anyone who's listening to this just to think about ways that they can be approachable on the course and kind of spread that to their community. I would love to see that. What about you, Paige? Yeah,
absolutely. I agree completely. And that was our like mission statement when we developed this podcast, you know, that we want to make sure that anyone we come into contact with and we try to make it like this, what's that called, Joe, where you spread it down, you know?
Like a trickle effect?
Effect. Like that we want to spread that approachable nature and we want to make it so when people think of disc golf, they think of, man, that's a cool community of people that will, you know, give me the shirt off their back or give me the disc out of their bag, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that we do such a good job doing that, but just reminding yourself of that every once in a while when something, just a little something, or you're having a bad day and someone says something, you know, just take one more breath and just remember like, okay, something could be going on with that person. I need to give them the benefit of the doubt and give them an ear, you know, or something, you know, let them throw a mulligan if they just hit the tree, whatever it may be, like, just be approachable and continue to trickle that down, and people will see that this sport is life. Like Simon says, I just saw a thing that Simon said, disc is life.
Disc is life.
And it's so true. It'd be like that.
He's already kind of shown us that we have such a unique community here in disc golf. But yeah, you be that community that Simon showcased in those Beyond Disc Golf episodes. So yeah, totally. You can be that. So
totally. And it's a good reminder, like, for me to think about too. And whenever I think about, like, okay, we have an approachable thing today, and just seeing the word approachable, like, come up on my phone, it's like, okay, I need to embody that. I need to, you know, be not even that change, because we are approachable, but just continuing that. And it's a great reminder for all of us. So anyway, thank you guys so much for hanging in here while we catch up on what all has been in store since we last spoke. I hope you guys enjoyed this first opening episode. Hopefully you got to know Joe and I a little bit better too, as your hosts for Approachable. And now for the rest of the season, you're going to get to know so many people that you may not have heard about yet.
Can't wait. And thank you guys so much for listening. We will catch you on the next one. Thanks for tuning into Approachable, presented by Grip Equipment, empowered by Jomez Pro.